Thought you had another song or two to do. Well, praise the Lord. Three of us have been in the hospital. My dog, my wife's poodle dog, been in the hospital 3 days. No comment, huh? Something wrong with its bowel. To the tune of pretty near $200, you know that. And I was in there, I passed out, y'all heard about that. The preacher has knocked my head against the wall and put a dent in his wall. And so, now my wife, she's been sick about a week, and I've been trying to get her to do something about it. And she needed to go in for last night for sure. She has a pain in her stomach. She's never sick. Never sick. She had pain in her stomach and right through to her back. She'd been bawling out for 2 days, and so... And I wasn't even going to go to preach this morning. I wanted to stay with her and bring her to the hospital. She said, no, you go to the hospital. You go to preach. I'll be here, and maybe I'll go to the hospital when you get back. When I got back this morning, she had her coat on, ready to go. So I knew that she's really sick. And if she wouldn't have been that ready. And so we were in there, I think, at 2. And they had just given her something to drink. Everybody in Cambridge was in the hospital. They wasn't in to pray. It was at the hospital emergency. One thing Obama said, who was right, people don't go to the doctor, they go to emergency. Go to the doctor. And so they were all in there, and so we waited, and I said, we got to get her on the gurney. We don't have a gurney available. And I said, you don't have a gurney in this hospital? Put her on, lay her out? I said, that's unbelievable. You know, well, they're all taken up. They got every excuse in the world to keep her from laying down. I said, how about some blankets we throw on the floor and lay her down on the floor, and with a lot of blankets or something. I mean, it was just killing her to be sitting up. And after that, then they said, we got a room available. And so they put her right in the room, and praise the Lord, that helped her, and they got working on her right away. When I left, they had given her something to drink. An hour after that, she was going to take, or they was going to give her a CAT scan on her stomach and then do some other things. They hadn't even taken blood yet, so pray for Judy. I don't know what's going on. Anyways, she's really never sick, so pray for her. Blind date. How many's ever had a blind date? I was telling my wife and this other lady about a couple blind dates I had. It was kind of disaster, probably for them was much me. But anyways. An 80-year-old lady was dating a 90-year-old man and said, I had to slap him on the head. And a friend asked, did he get fresh with you? She said, no, I thought he died. That's exciting. We talked the last time about people that wait at the end of a ramp, you know, and collect money. Remember I told you we was talking about that? And I saw this and cut this out of something. I don't know where it was, but Jose and Carlos, bless their hearts. They were panhandling at the freeway off ramp. Jose drives a Mercedes, lives in a mortgage-free house, and has a lot of money to spend. Now that's Jose. Carlos only brings home just $2 or $3, $4, $5 every day. And both have the same job now. And Carlos asks Jose, how can you bring home a suitcase full of $10 bills every day? I'm only bringing home a few bucks. Jose says, look at your sign. Your sign reads, I have no work, a wife, and 6 kids to support. Carlos looks at Jose's sign. His sign reads, I only need another $10 to move back to Mexico. So, it depends on what's on your sign. Well, I've been in the hospital all day, seems like, church and then to the hospital. One hospital to the other. Amen. Had a good time this morning. And I can't find my message. So we're just going to wing it. Amen. That'd be all right. I've been winging it for 35 years anyway. So we'll wing it one more night. Amen. I was telling them. Oh, Gary, I was telling lady in the back, I know your name. Joyce. Joyce. Well, I knew that. You didn't give me a chance to say it. I was telling Joyce that I know what I'm going to say anyway, so I guess it don't make any difference. Time I think I figure out what I'm going to say, I don't say that anyway. I say something else. And so somebody says, all you do is run rabbit trails. I said, well, I figured that's what God wanted me to say, is the rabbit trail. Because, you know, I just didn't want to say what I wrote down. Amen. And so I hope God, I give God the freedom and for God to say what he wants me to say. But a common portion of Scripture, and I hope we can look at it in a different way tonight. In Luke chapter 19, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Verse number 1 of Luke 19. We'll read it and then we'll go back and we'll preach on it and look at it. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was a chief among the publicans, and he was rich, and he had sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed, up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to the guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusations, I store him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to thy house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Let's look at some of these scriptures here about this. We kids sing a song, Zacchaeus is a wee little man. Wee little man is he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree to see what he could see. What's the rest of it? Yeah, go ahead with it.
As the Savior passed that day, he looked up
in the tree
and said, Zacchaeus, you come down from there.
For I'm going to your house today. Oh, I'm going to your house today. Amen. Zacchaeus. And Jesus, verse number 1, entered and passed through Jericho. It's always good when Jesus passes through your way. Amen. I have statistics about Jericho and Jesus passing through Jericho. I don't remember them. They're on the paper that I cannot find. Amen. But anyways, it's real good stuff. Amen. You just got to imagine that I gave it to you. Amen. But are we on? We're on, aren't we? Amen. Yeah, it's real good stuff. But, hey, it's good when the Lord passes your way. Eh? Amen? Judy and I sing a song. When Jesus passed by my way, and he made me whole that day. When Jesus passed by. Hey, thank God one day in 1958 that Jesus passed by my way. Amen. He'd been coming by for a year, and I turned him down. I thank God that he came by one more time. Amen. He is not under no obligation to come by my way another time. But he did. Amen. And thank God I had enough sense to accept him on that day that Jesus passed by. It's good that when we come into the house of God that Jesus comes in with you and I, amen, and sits down and enjoys the service with us, amen. And somebody sings a song, and maybe Jesus will sing with them on the second verse, or maybe the third verse, amen. Or he gets into the message and preaches the message himself. It's good when Jesus passes by. I can think of many times when Jesus has passed by my way, amen, when I needed him, amen. It's many times when I looked over in the seat, say, could I see him? No, but Jesus was in my car, amen. See, I know he's in the third heaven, the right hand of the Father. I understand that, but in the presence of the Holy Ghost, he was right there with me, amen. And thank God for that. When Jesus passed by, praise God, and bless the Lamb forever tonight. Listen, Jesus entered in, and he passed by through Jericho. He did not have to come through Jericho. Amen. But he came through. Amen. He did not have to come through that time when you got saved. But praise the Lamb, he came through. Amen. And he came through for you. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so he passed by through Jericho. Jericho needed the Lord. Amen. And Jesus came and passed by. Amen. We're working with the fairs and that. And boy, it's good, I tell you, when people are coming passing by. All these opportunities. You see all these souls that are lost without God coming to you. Boy, I tell you, if God isn't with you, well, you're just standing there wasting your time. Hey, if Jesus doesn't pass by, amen, also, well, you're just standing there wasting your time. You can't do anything for them people. Nothing. If God's not there with you, amen. Thank God when Jesus passes by. And the second verse says, and behold, there was a man. There was a man named Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus. What about this man named Zacchaeus? We know him as just a little old short guy. Which was a chief among the publicans. He was a Jew, I believe, And he was a tax collector. He was a tax collector. Now I'm going to tell you something about Zacchaeus. I don't think they liked Zacchaeus very well. I don't think these Jews liked Zacchaeus at all. Number one, he was a man. Number two, he was a tax collector. I remember Western Southern insurance when I was younger. I remember them coming by every month and collecting like 85 cents. 85 cents for a policy. And, you know, as I look back on it, I think, boy, that was brazen and dangerous to come by and knock on somebody's house and go in there with maybe just a woman of the house and collect 85 cents for a small policy, $1,000 policy, $2,000 policy, or something like that. I remember, and I was a nice guy. He, as a matter of fact, this one particular guy, it was in Akron, he had some property down here in Noble County. I believe it was his mother. I think that was where he's from. And he would come down on the weekends and mow the grass and everything. I remember 85 cents. Once a month, come by and collect that. Now, I don't know if they do that anymore or not. Probably not. I know the 85 cents is gone. But, you know, surely it's every 3 months or something. You know, $340.85. But he wasn't a tax collector, but I hate insurance about as much as I hate taxes. I really do. I can't wait to get to heaven, you know, just to turn in I'm insured beyond the grave, amen. Have my reservations made to begin this new life when this one's gone. And this eternal policy was written in blood at Calvary, and it was signed, sealed, and delivered by a king. That's my insurance, amen. And praise God, when I get that, I don't want any more insurance. I don't have to have any more insurance, amen. I despise insurance. You got to have it, but I despise it. One for attorneys, trial attorneys, you wouldn't have to have insurance. Somebody say amen. Who sells insurance? I've said that, and I've had people look. They wouldn't even shake my hand when they left. That's all right. You're right to your opinion. Amen. Praise God. But listen, they didn't like him. He was a tax collector. They didn't like tax collectors. Neither do you. Some people vote for him every time they get a chance to go in the poll. They vote for people who raise taxes. They love it. They can't wait to do it. And then they complain about it when they raise their taxes. I like to talk to some people before they vote. Wouldn't you? Or tie them up. They didn't like him. He was a tax collector. They didn't like him. They didn't like somebody coming around and collecting money from them. They didn't like him. They don't like Zacchaeus. We think he's this cute little old fella, you know, like a little teddy bear. They didn't like him. He not only was a tax collector, he was the chief tax collector. He was the chief. He was Boss Hulk. They double despised him for that. He was good at it. Some people weren't good at it. But he was good at it. So he was chief. Paul, there was a man, Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans. Said he was rich. You know why he was rich? Not only was he rich because of his job, but it said that they would charge, just like what you just said, the police, the honest police would come and try to weasel $100 out of somebody for no reason. See? The tax collectors would charge you more taxes than you had to pay. And they would keep that extra money. They would turn in what you were supposed to pay, but they would charge you more and they would keep it. That's how they got rich. They despised Zacchaeus. They didn't like him. Some people don't like some people for no reason. I was that way. I didn't like Indians. I didn't like American Indians. Didn't like them. I used to say, if I had my way, I'd run clear out in the Pacific Ocean. Well, that was kind of stupid, wasn't it? I got to reading about them. And I got a book. You know, you got to be careful about everything you read. But I got a book. I can't think of the title of it now. But it was about this guy that was there when they had not powwows, but treaties. When they had treaties and everything. And he wrote about this stuff. And, you know, about the broken treaties but and everything. But he wrote about what the Indians would say. And it was very interesting. Now, one thing about Indians is the same as the white people. They're sinners lost without God. And they're idolaters. We send missionaries to Indians today because they're idolaters and drunkards. And the government sends them money to buy cigarettes and liquor and does nothing for them, I don't think, but to help them participate and afford their sin. Now, you know, maybe you know more about it than I do, I don't know. I've taken a little different view on them. I don't know, you know, a whole lot about, you know, I was reading about the Cherokees and about President, what was his name? Hickory, Tennessee, Jackson, you know, and what he did to them, you know. And I know that there's mean Indians too, you know. Some of them, like some of us, ain't worth shooting, you know. And so, you know, there's some people just don't like black people. They don't like Indians. They don't like tall people. And they don't like short people. Zacchaeus was short in stature. I believe some people didn't like him because he was short. Some people don't like people today because they're short in stature. Let me tell you something about a short man. You better be careful what you say about a short man, at least to his face. Sometimes they're the toughest guy on the block. A lot of times they're the bodybuilders. They're the guys that know karate, jiu-jitsu, because they've done something to build themselves up because they're short. My daddy was short. I'm about 2 inches, I guess. Maybe short. My daddy was short. One thing also about short men, they're cocky a lot of times, arrogant, cocksure about everything, you know. They know everything. You just better be careful what you say to them. Just because they're short, don't think you can whip them. Now, how big you are. Because a lot of them have done something to build themselves up because they're short. Now, Jews, I think, I don't know, I asked your pastor about this. He wasn't sure. We've always thought of Jews as being kind of short, smoking a cigar, having a pocket full of money. Well, they smoke cigars and have a pocket full of money.
They got money, there's no doubt about it. They owned about everything. Hitler hated them because they owned everything. I mean, they owned it. They own it now. They own Hollywood, New York. Can't blame somebody for having money. Can you? Can't blame somebody for having money. We'd like to have some, wouldn't we? We don't want to smoke the cigars, but we all right have some money. When I was in Israel, those people over there looked short to me. Perhaps a real blooded Jew, Israelite, was short in stature. Filipinos are, Mexicans are. And I don't know, we always thought that they were. But whatever the case is, Zacchaeus was shorter than the rest of them. Because the Bible said he was, what's it say, small in stature? Little in stature. Yeah, he was down there. I don't think they liked him because he was short. He had money. He took money from them. More than their taxes. Took their taxes. Rich. And short. And he was rich. People don't like rich people. They don't like rich people. You talk to the average union worker, they don't like rich people. They forget that rich people sign the checks. Thank God for rich people. Some rich people are saved, some are lost, some are nice people, some are not. But they write the checks. They're the entrepreneurs. They build the businesses. He was rich. I got a friend who worked, he's retired from GM. Hates the company. Been taught to hate the company. He's got plenty of money. Plenty of money in the bank, plenty of money in his pocket, made good money, hates the company. They're rich. They'll tell you, they're rich. He'd been programmed to hate people who got money. I believe that because he was rich, they didn't like him. Now, I know the way he got it was wrong. But it was just one area they didn't like him. But look what he did. Being an unlikable person, I believe he was. I don't believe he cared. You know, a lot of times people who got money, they don't care whether you like them or not. And he ran. And what it says in verse number 3? Let's go back to verse number 3. What else about this man, besides being unliked? He sought to see Jesus. Maybe his life was, hey, nobody, he felt nobody liked him, nobody loved him. I don't know. Maybe he got tired of that. Maybe he got tired of knocking on people's doors, taking the money, and they said things about him, just let him know that they didn't like him. You know, after a while, you get tired of people not liking you. You get tired of that. And Jesus coming to town, and he sought to see Jesus. You know why our churches are not full is because people are not seeking Jesus. Preacher today over at the Countryside said that he read that the size of the fundamental Bible-believing, soul-winning, independent Baptist church today, the average size of the Bible-believing, the King James Bible-believing church today is 30 people. 30. Oh, I believe that. I believe that. The one that preaches the truth, preaches on sin. I'm not saying the bigger churches don't preach on truth. They preach the truth. I'm just saying that are fundamental right down the line. 30 was the average. Now, where he got the statistics, I don't know. But that's what he just read. 30. And I believe that we've got to where we don't seek Jesus like we used to. And Christians don't seek him. Paul, of all people, said, "Oh, that I may know him." All of his life, he wanted to know more about Jesus. I don't believe that he ever got to where he didn't want to know more about Jesus. That ought to be our desire. Here's where we learn more about Jesus, right here. To learn more about him. And so it said that he sought to see Jesus. We talk about the rapture of the church. We talk about the Lord coming back. We talk about getting out of this world. Hey, it ought to be that we see Jesus. That's what we want to see. We want to see Jesus. So he sought to see Jesus, who he was. Not just for an escape like a lot of people. Not just for an escape, but who he was. He wasn't who he was. Heard about him, obviously. He wasn't who he was. Well, who is he? Who is he to you? Just somebody hangs out on Sunday? To most in this country, and our president said that this is not necessarily a Christian nation. I don't know how he put it. But he's right. I mean, if you really got down and counted the born again Christians in this country, you'd come up short. You'd come up short. Oh, you'd find people who go to church. You'd find people who say they were a Christian because they go to church. I had one lady tell me, I said, "You've been born again. Have you been saved?" She said, "My daddy's a Methodist preacher." No, she could have said Baptist, doesn't make any difference. I said, "No, do you know for sure if you died you were going to heaven?" She said, "I just told you that my daddy was a Methodist preacher. One man told me that I'm a Mason." I said, "No, I'm not asking that. I'm asking, do you know for sure if you die, you will spend eternity in heaven?" He said, "I told you, like this, that I am a Mason." I'm not talking about people who say I'm a Christian. I'm talking about those who are really born again, love God. Obama was right. President Obama. He was right. But he didn't know he was right. He wasn't talking in reality. I believe he was talking against Christianity. He wanted to see Jesus, who he was, but he couldn't for the press, for the people. There were so many people there. That's 8:05. What time are you usually done? 8? 6 after 8? I'm about done. I was just saying, the press. There's so many people. I'm sure he's trying to jump up and down, trying to see. He went to see him. Boy, we had to be that way. We had to be jumping up and down, get a glimpse of Jesus.
That's right.
We had to be running into church, hoping he'll show up, do something in our life, hoping that it's not just another service. We're not just going to sing a few more verses of another song or two songs or three and just shake hands and all that's good. But God's really going to show up and do something for us. And we're going to be different when we leave than when we came. But he couldn't for the press because he was little in stature. He's just a little guy. And he ran before and climbed up in a sycamore tree. Have you ever been on the tour out there with Brother... Thank you, Dickinson. Dickinson. I told you I bumped my head. And he showed you that sycamore tree? You just climb up in it right from the bottom. Right, and the limbs come out there, climb right up. Obviously, he shot for that sycamore tree because he was little. He didn't have to shimmy up a tree. Could have been any tree. Probably wouldn't have said sycamore tree. I said sycamore tree for a reason. He just climbed in it. He didn't shimmy up it, he just climbed up in it. Like steps. For he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up. Jesus said, you know, if I be lifted up, I'll draw him into me. But Jesus looked up to him. That's something. Jesus looked up to him. Little old guy up in the tree. Little old Jew up there stole money from people so he could be rich. And said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at your house. Isn't it good when the Lord abides at our house? Amen. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured. All those people in that press, you know, they was pressing to see Jesus also. And here he is with Zacchaeus, so that press is right there. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest at a man that is a sinner. They didn't like him. He's just a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. I believe he's showing fruit of repentance. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. I remember the day when the Lord came to our house, 1958. He passed by one more time. I was way up in the balcony. And he came by one more time. And I took him as Savior. And I took him home to the house that day. Amen. Took him home to dinner that day at the house. Told my mom and dad who'd been saved.
They weren't in church that day. I was going to another church. And I said, Lord, save me today. Amen. What a great day that was in my life. I went nothing, just a piece of dirt, just like old Zacchaeus. In life, in this world, I wasn't any taller than he was. I wasn't any better than he was. But the Lord saved me. Sure you're saved tonight? Living for God? What's this world think of you as far as your Christianity is concerned? As far as your Christianity is concerned. So let's stand to our feet. The Lord spoke to your heart this evening. Altar be open for you. Father, we love you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for loving us, dying for us, living for us, dear Lord. Saving us, oh God. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God spoke to your heart. The altar is open.
Thank you for this gathering tonight. Lord, I would ask that you would please reach out to Judy. Father, whatever is wrong, give the doctors wisdom to find it. Father, we know that ultimately you are the great physician, and we acknowledge that. And Father, I just pray for healing there. Lord, these people have been through a lot this month. And Father, I just would ask that you will please minister there. Pray for Brother Chuck. And Father, we would ask for healing there. And then, Lord, again, we pray specifically for Pastor Sonia and Aaron. Bring them back to us safely. Give them safety. Lord, and we leave it in the next 8.5 hours, I pray, Father. Use them. Bring them back here. Lord, dismiss us with your love, mercy, and grace. Give us safe traveling home. Bring us back here Wednesday night for a time of celebration. In Jesus' name, amen.